So our live stream audience saw all this, is seeing all this as a seamless experience. Those of you that are in the room, I'm just going to acknowledge that you know that they're not here. And so, yeah, you kind of do see them, don't you? I mean, you didn't have too much trouble making that translation there. And this is a product of our new way to do things. This is a product of what normal is shaping up to be. Yes, I would rather have Kit in the room, and Julie, and Katie Marie, and Brad. Yes, I'd love to have them in the room. And we have now the ability to bring you music from wherever, whenever. And there's a bit of, oh, I hate to use this word because I'm going to use it a lot, but there is some freedom in that. It allows Kit to go follow her heart's calling and do what she does with and for us. And so, you know, she'll be coming and going. But you, it's not like you're not used to looking at a screen, right? I mean, that has also become part of our lives. You know, I remember reading a science fiction novel two or three decades ago about people living in a world in which they were connected by an etheric way to communicate with each other, and that we would be able to order things for our homes, and we would be able to communicate with each other, and we'd be able to work and entertain ourselves from our little nest at home. And I thought, wow, I can't even conceive of that. Here we are, doing that very thing. And so, I mean, to get eggs at your home by filling out something on an app, that's kind of unique. If you think about it, if you think of it in the span of things. So in that way, we're freer from a lot of, you know, driving around in traffic and, you know, going through the grocery store and going shopping for everything. Because, first of all, we couldn't for a long time. And now it's become a way of life for some of us. And I just want to kind of keep orienting us towards seeing everything that we did in the past a little bit differently now, especially church, because church is not limited to being in the room. Church is many ways. Church is many times. Church is an unseen experience with each other a lot. And so the traditional ideas of church have been shifted right before our eyes. And I'm just talking about one aspect of our society. So today, when we come together for this July 4th celebration, usually we'd be looking at the room going, well, people are on vacation, they're doing a lot of stuff. This is true now. But it's also that people prefer to stay home in their pajamas and watch church. I would stay home in my pajamas and watch church, except they make me come here and like that old joke.
And be church.
And be church, you remember, right? So this idea of freedom that we're looking at today, some of you saw it in the summary about the talk today. 245 years ago, thank you, math. I can do this, math. 245 years ago, a group of people declared their independence from England for the colonies that were established here. And we have taken this as looking back at that and going, oh, we were made free. Not all people were made free during that, you know? It took a long time after that to abolish slavery. It took a long time after that to give the people who were freed from slavery the right to vote. It took a long time after that for women to be allowed to vote, to participate in the democracy that was established 245 years ago. So it's a good example for us to look at the Declaration and then putting it into action. And that's what freedom is about for all of us, too. We make the declaration of our freedom. I am free in spirit. I am free from the things that have held me back. And then, like I talked about last week, when we see all the things that come up that do not align with that idea of freedom because we're still holding on to them, sometimes to our surprise, then we see all the ways that we need to move through our lives to establish that freedom that we have declared. So we have to make a conscious effort to say, okay, I am free from my addiction. And now I have 12 steps to follow, and not just one time, but every day. You can decide to separate from a life partner and say, okay, the divorce is final. The coming apart is final. We're no longer sharing the same house. But then there's the emotional divorce, which can happen before or after the legalities. That still has to happen. Learning how to make a new life after that declaration of freedom, if you will, making a new life after that. So I'm talking about solid, concrete examples, but the other part of that are the more subtle things about declaring our freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set... That could go bad so many ways. The truth is going to set you free. That's what it comes down to. Whew, was a close one. And if you read traditional religious texts, it will say that Jesus set us free. Now, I want you to take that statement, my friends, especially those of you that are not Jesus files. Take that statement, Jesus set us free, and just notice how your body reacts to that. Notice what your mind says. Nah, I came to Unity because I didn't want to deal with that kind of talk. The truth is that man lived a life, as far as we know, that was filled with freedom. Freedom from traditional teachings and laws, going beyond them. Freedom from the constraints of his traditional religion of Judaism. Freedom from what the Roman rule said about him. And most of all, freedom from the old ideas that held people back. And they, with the death and resurrection, freedom from life being over when you die. So you can look at that teaching and say, yeah, that's true. We have an example of a life that was lived freely. So if anybody asks you ever, especially family members that don't know about Unity or don't want to come to Unity or don't understand Unity, if they say, yeah, but do you believe in Jesus? You could say, yeah, I do. If they say, well, is Unity Christian? You say, yes, it is. Because we saw that life lived freely. And we said, yeah, we want that. We want that. There's no power greater than the power of God. Period. Not this thing, not the other thing, not that objection, not that exception. Free. And so, he showed us, he sure did, he showed us how to live fully and completely. I love the story of all the disciples being out on the boat, and the storm comes up, and Jesus is asleep. Storm doesn't bother him at all. Oh my God, we're going to capsize. Oh no, woe are we. Jesus, wake up. We're about to tip over. Jesus, the storm is too big. And he's like, oh, what? Oh, be still. Did Jesus actually calm a storm? Don't know. Don't know if he did that or not. What he did was show people that the storm would not destroy them. He showed them what it was like to be calm in the midst of the storm. That's freedom, isn't it? But we go on autopilot when we're confronted with a conflict, with something that surprises us, with something that throws us off base. If somebody looks at us sideways some days, and we have the opportunity, if we choose to take it, because we have free will, not conditional will, free will, we have free will to say, oh yeah, that's autopilot. What I can do instead is find peace right now. I can take a breath, and I can look at this from a different perspective. I can look at this through the eyes of my inner spirit. I can look at this through the things I've begun to know. And we will also catch ourselves going, no, I don't want to look at it that way. I want to be upset for a few minutes. Thank you very much. I might want to be upset for a long time, years. We do that, don't we? Remember when I said last week, oh no, I don't want infinite possibilities. No, thank you. I'd like to hold on to this grudge for a really long time because I get so much adrenaline and juice when I tell my story. We get married to those stories, don't we? Married to them. They are more precious to us than our beloved. And I've got to say that over the years that I've been a minister and done pastoral counseling with people, I've kind of gotten to where I can hear a story that's been told many times. When that switch is flipped and they're off. And I sometimes get the opportunity to hear them tell it to somebody else exactly the same way. Now, I'm telling that because I do the same thing. Well, let me tell you about the time that so-and-so did such-and-such. Can you believe that? Am I ringing any bells out there? Am I the only one standing up here going, blah, this is who I am? We do this, friends. We do it. And if it's not about somebody who's wronged us, it can be about all them out there doing that thing they do. And so we firmly, we clear out the campsite, we put in the stakes, we've got a tent. We are staking out this ground that we're going to stand on, and by God, we will die defending this hill of our opinion. This hill of our long entrenched beliefs. And man, we got to travel light in this life, my friends. We got to be able to put what we've got on our back and keep moving forward. Just go. The only hill you should have to think about dying on is standing in your truth. And that's not even a good phrase to apply to it. The thing that we want to do is catch ourselves I am not telling you, here, these are the teachings, and your life will have no problems anymore. You will be free from ever thinking anything bad about anybody ever again. Sorry. But I can tell you that you can change your mind in an instant. You can change your heart in an instant. We had an example of that, just a few of us talking before church started today, before the service started. And I saw us collectively go, And then one said, and we can pray for, about, and with them. Yep, we sure can. All of them out there, they deserve our prayers. We're going to talk about that next week. Why we pray, what we're praying, and how to do it. We're going to talk about that next week. Anybody, anywhere, about anybody, anywhere. We always have the opportunity to shift. We're invited to do that. We're invited to feel our feelings about the thing that we're upset about, and then use that as a tool to find our deeper selves. There's one presence and one power in the universe. One presence and one power. That's it. No exceptions. No exceptions. If you want to talk about exorcisms, hauntings, and possessed people, we'll have a conversation. But that's not some evil force out there, equal and opposite to God, messing with things. Humans can do that all by themselves. We don't need any outside force to make us act badly. You know? There's one presence and one power. That power lives in me too, as demonstrated by not only Jesus, but other master teachers. Said, look, this is how to live a life centered in that which created the universe. I saw a little thing the other day about a child learning about the universe. Oh, I know what it was. It was that new Pixar movie. Yes, I watch animated little children's animated movies. They're good for you. They're good antidote to life. It's a new one called Luca, and it's about a little sea monster who turns into a human boy when he's on land. So it's like the Little Merman. But his friend has told him that the stars in the skies are anchovies. And the big fish comes up every month in the night sky. And then he meets a human girl who shows him a book about the universe. And she tells him that these are stars, and some of them are great fires, like the sun. And beyond our solar system is a galaxy. And he said, well, what's beyond the galaxy? She said, even more galaxies. And what's beyond that? The entire universe. Well, what's beyond that? Nobody knows. And just in that moment, it's good for us to be reminded of what an amazing, enormous, beyond our imagination and reasoning universe we live in. And we are part of that. There is nothing in us that can't be found out there among the stars. Isn't that incredible? I mean, and now, what are they called? An unidentified alien phenomenon? Stay tuned. I can't wait till they figure out what those things are and aren't. So that power out there in the universe is also right here in that next breath you draw. And we get to use that. We get to use that in our words and in our thoughts And in our deeds, we get to use that. And our goal, our responsibility, our gift is to be able to do that as much as we can, as often as we can, wherever we can. And when we get off center, or before we get off center, we pray and meditate so that we stay in touch with that source, with the entire universe. And then we bring it out there into the world. We live it. We don't just talk about it. It's not just a philosophy. It's not just a theology. It's not just a theory or a hypothesis. It is the truth. And we're made free by that truth. So that we're not captured by our icky past or anything that happened in it. We are not slaves to ways of thinking that were imposed upon us or that we adapted in order to please people or survive. We're not slaves to that. Please don't ever, unless it's something godly and a blessing to the world, please do not tell me that that's just the way you are. Well, that's the way I've always been. Well, let's examine that and see if that's working for you. Would it be okay with you if your life was a little freer than that? Yesterday, I had a little bit of trouble getting settled into my body. I was just a little bit out of sorts, kind of like my body was here and the rest of me was standing just a few inches to the side of it. You know that feeling? Yeah, you're just like, oh man, I just need to put all this back together again. So I haven't stopped to take a bath in my, I've taken showers. I'm just letting you know I take showers. I haven't taken a bath in my deep jetted tub in my new house yet. So man, I threw the salts in there, a little bit of Chanel, and got in that bathtub, and I could feel myself before my body was all the way in. I could feel it draining out of my pores. And I got back to myself again. Whatever you have to do that, whether it's prayer, taking a walk, taking a bath, petting your dog, loving your cat if they'll let you, any of those things. You know how they are. Cats are a great reminder, aren't they? Cats are a great reminder of that part of us that is a little tricky, a little mischievous, a little obstinate, likes to mess around in things they shouldn't be messing around in, humans. So life is always a reflection to us of the things that might stand in our way of freedom. I want to share with you today, I found something that's a little, it's a little more traditional and totally relevant. It's from Loyola Press. And this is a very short little article, I'm just going to tell you part of it, written about spiritual freedom in an emotional world, because that is one of the gifts of our humanness, is our emotions. And so the author is Vanita Hampton Wright. She said, what do emotions have to do with spiritual freedom? Or do they have anything to do with it? Saint Ignatius of Loyola was a pioneer of sorts in the area of spiritual direction. When he was developing his spiritual exercises, and those of you that are familiar with Saint Ignatius know about the spiritual exercises, he encouraged people to be open to their emotions and to learn how to attend to them and understand what they meant. Ignatius was an ex-soldier, and by his own admission, he had always possessed a strong ego. By his own admission. As a man's man, he would have been taught to value reason and self-control and rational planning. Yet his own experiences of spiritual awakening introduced him to a deeper awareness of his interior life with all of its facets and nuances. The spiritual exercises encourage full engagement with the physical senses, with spiritual devotion, with what we would generally call intuition, with deep down desires, and with any interior movements, because, you know, you can feel your emotions. They move. Any interior movements, including emotions. You might say that Ignatius of Loyola was getting in touch with feminine qualities centuries before psychologist Carl Jung came along to name and explain them. She brings up St. Ignatius because interior freedom, spiritual freedom, requires the kind of engagement that is the focus of his spiritual exercises. Freedom asks that we learn how to discern our personal interior movements of soul. If we want to be truly free, we will have to acknowledge our emotions, receive them, feel them, and reflect on them. Emotions are powerful tools in the spiritual life. They are indicators of what is happening within us. And if we learn to accept them as gifts in the human experience, we can begin to work with them in spiritually healthy ways. So are you noticing that they're saying that spiritual freedom does not preclude your emotions? Your emotions are the gateway. They're the indicators of the direction in which we go towards spiritual freedom. Some of you have told me, and I've seen this over the years, that some days you just come to church and cry and you don't know why. This is a safe place for that to happen, for that interior movement to have an exterior expression. And somebody said this to me once, that every tear that we cry never has to be shed again. We'll shed tears about other things, but the tears that we shed are taking care of that which needs to be taken care of. Isn't that a comfort? And you come here, and for a little while, your heart is soft around the edges. And that movement can take place, and it reveals itself to you. And it's real easy. I know, because I did it. I would come to my Unity Church, and I would feel all this stuff, and then I'd go home, and I'd have to, like, slam all those doors shut because it was too much to feel. But the truth is, it hurts more to do that than it does to go ahead and let it flow, even if it doesn't feel nice, even if it doesn't look pretty. But the thing that we can remember, even in the midst of it, is that we have the self that watches the self. The self with a capital S that watches the self with a small s and says, "Yes, beloved, I'm observing how you're feeling right now. And there is something that is the panacea, that is the answer, that is the transmutation of what you're feeling right now. Breathe into that and see what is revealed to you." That's what our freedom is. Not to be on autopilot, but to be aware more and more and more. And luckily, we have these physical bodies that also allow us. Have you ever noticed when you're going through a day and your eyes aren't really seeing what's in front of you? Because you're so much in here that your eyes are just doing their minimum so that you don't run into stuff. That you can drive a car, hopefully. So when we get back fully in our bodies, when we fully feel what it is we're feeling so that we can let it teach us, lead us to those deeper interior places, lead us toward the help and the guidance that we need, then we can see here and here. We can see life and participate in it as only we can. Each one of you, bringing a gift to the world. We have an obligation. We are built for doing that. And you're here because you want to. A especially on those days when your feet are dragging. Not just Sundays, but all the other days of the week. If your feet are dragging, you're just going, I don't want to be spiritually healthy today. Bet you really do. And when you run into that resistance of self, it's time to just be still and breathe. Just be still. Your emotions will not kill you. They are your friends. So I'm going to ask you now just to breathe. You can keep your eyes open, you can close them, whatever is comfortable for you. Just to breathe. And just know that in the last 20 minutes or so, there have been moments that you've identified with, moments that you've resisted, moments in which you checked out, and all of that is okay. Your subconscious has absorbed everything that it needs to absorb today. And we trust that. We trust that about spirit. And so as we begin our meditation, I would just say to you, are you feeling what you're feeling? Or are you pushing it away? Are you being present to your body right now? Listening to your breath? If you need to, find your heartbeat or find your pulse wherever you can feel it. And marvel for a moment, just for a moment, that you're living in this incredible machine that knows exactly what to do to sustain life. That there are neurochemical and electrical impulses that are working in harmony with each other. So even if you have discomfort in your body in any way, just breathe into that spot. Relax into it. And for a moment, you may have freedom from pain and have freedom toward healing. In all areas of our life, beloved, it's important for us to see those things that we'd rather not and accept them. Say, yes, this is true about me. And I allow a deeper healing to come into that part of my life. I allow it. And today you have, with your free will, the choice to say, yes, I choose freedom, or no, today I do not. And if you say, no, I do not choose freedom today, it's okay. Because the opportunity will knock again. And if you say, yes, I choose freedom, then settle into it and know that whatever needs to be revealed to you will be revealed to you, and you will have the means by which to heal it. If your mind and thoughts are confused, if your mind and thoughts are depressed, know that beyond your neurochemistry is that great divine spirit working through all things. Beloved, for a moment, think of the most precious little child that is in your life. And if not that, a beloved animal friend. Think about the love and the appreciation you have for that dear, precious one. And beloved, then know this, you are also that. In your heart of hearts, you are precious and beloved. You are innocent and whole. And even now, as a plant that is deeply rooted, pushing its way through the soil, bringing its face into the sunshine, you are that, ever emerging, always emerging. And if you're able, and if there is some place where you are sitting that you can lift your face as though the sun were shining upon you, take it in. For this is spirit, above and below, around and through, blessing you, blessing you, and blessing you. And to those of you that are here and those of you that are watching us, I extend my hand as your partner on this pilgrimage of life that we're taking. I join with you because together we reflect and magnify the great spirit that joins us all. And here in the room, go ahead and open your eyes when you're ready. And know that you are seen. You are seen by those who love you, by the very face of God. You are seen and you are loved. And you are free. And so it is.